Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Thank you all for being here today at Unity of Fairfax, our spiritual center for education, practice, and service. So this week is our second week of our three-part series based on the book Finding Yourself in Transition by Unity Minister Reverend Robert Brummett. Brief recap. The book takes the biblical narrative of the exodus of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. This is an account that is rife with symbolism, full of drama, and makes for really good movies. If you have ever seen the Ten Commandments, it usually shows up around Passover time on television, the old 50s version with big scenes. It's quite a story. So Reverend Brummett uses this book as a backdrop for individuals when they find themselves in transition and identifies three different segments of the transition experience: endings, the void, and beginnings. We can also look at this same story in light of collective transition as well, because that's actually where the story began, as the birth story ultimately of Israel as a people and as a nation. So the first step is endings. And endings, as you know, can be quick or gradual. They may not be immediately noticed or recognized when they're happening, but they definitely set up the next phase. And you know we've moved from one phase to the other when you've entered the void. And the void, in which we refer to as wandering with an A or wondering with an O, is that period of time in which we often feel lost. And then eventually, that which is lost is found, and that sets up the third stage, new beginnings, the Promised Land, as it were, and in which the individuals or the group finds itself in the new and improved normal. Well, we certainly hope it's a new and improved normal. So just briefly, last week when we looked at endings, or the departure, as he refers to it, we talked a little bit about how endings can be easy, and the ones we get excited about, like graduating from high school or college or getting a promotion or getting married, some big event that we look forward to, we plan on, we celebrate, yay! And endings can begin the hard way that involve pain and suffering, such as the divorce or the diagnosis, or finding out, my goodness, we are in a pandemic. What in the heck is that going to do? Well, I can assure you, it will send you right into the void. And what comes next, the void, really isn't, it's a process, really. It is that time in which we seem to wander aimlessly sometimes, trying to find a way out of the void. It often feels like we're in the dark in a strange room, just trying to figure out, where are we going? How are we going to get out of this? And it also includes this period of wondering, is this ever going to end? Where is all this leading? Is there really a promised land or an end in sight? How long is this going to take? Brummett refers to this period of wandering and wondering as the void. And for those of us who want safety and security and sustainability, the void is an absolutely horrible place. Yeah, it is. And let's face it, Maslow identifies one of our foundational needs is all that safety, security, and survival stuff. And the chakra system, it's root chakra. We want to have all that. But when we find ourselves in the void, it seems like all of that has simply gone missing. We are curious, that's a nice way of putting it, and often fearful about, holy moly, how are we going to get through this? What comes next? You know, and after all, many of us, myself included, have goals to meet, metrics to fulfill, things to do, people to see, and projects we must get accomplished. And yet, when you find yourself in the void, it's like, I can't really seem to do any of that. Or maybe we start doing some of it, and it doesn't work out, and it doesn't pan out, and it's like, oh, for Pete's sake. Let me give you an example. It's one that I'm currently working on. Ron's working on it. There are 10 of us actually working on it. reopening the church as a result of COVID-19. How is it that we are going to gather in person? When are we going to gather in person? What's it going to look like when we gather in person? You know, I think about the Israelites wandered the desert for 40 years. It feels like this process of sorting all this out is taking 40 years. I mean, I looked on my calendar the other day and it said March 98th. And I thought, oh, for Pete's sake, where did that come from? You know, let me just show you a simple graphic that highlights what I'm talking about. It's on the screen behind me. Pastors, I'm going to 26 meetings a week to figure out how to reopen the church. Congregants, we're watching the church on the couch, wearing pajamas, drinking coffee, and we can mute you. We're good, and I'm okay with all of that except for the mute part. So that's a different talk for a different day. But it just seems like that. I mean, that question is really puzzling for us because we know we will gather in person again, but we don't really know what that's going to look like. We don't know when that's going to happen. I have a sense, and we hope to have some information to share about that next month, so stay tuned. And what do we do with all the complaining? Oh, the complaining. Lots of complaining. I'm complaining. We're all complaining. There's lots of complaining. The Exodus recounts lots of stories of complaining during the void. You know, and if we go through a void experience where we're dealing with our health or we're dealing with relationships or the not knowing, there is a lot of complaining that can be had. Here's just a short sampling from Exodus chapter 16. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Well, they certainly didn't mince words. And I can assure you they did not have mincemeat pie either. So, needless to say, what happened next, we find out, is the people discovered manna from heaven. There was enough sustenance to meet their needs. And so, in our period of wandering and wondering, we're receiving manna from heaven too. We have our live stream service for Sunday and for our Wednesday new prayer service. Yay! We are, as a result of that, growing our online audience. That's a win for the upliftment of consciousness. We have our online meetings and gatherings, which are doing great gangbusters and inviting people in from out of state and even out of the country at times. Wow, that's a win. That's manna from heaven. We have the generosity of our community that's sending those cards and letters. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. So the question is, when will we gather again? It's not going to be 40 years. But we'll know when we know. You see, in the scriptures, whenever you see the number 40, it's a symbol for it takes as long as it takes. They wandered for 40 years. Jesus' temptation in the desert was 40 days. In the time of Noah, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is a number that says it's just going to take us until it's done. That's what the void is about. There is some transformation, some change, some growth that needs the time to take to get to the fullness. The Israelites could not get to the promised land until they were ready to get to the promised land. Robert Brummer says, "In the uncertainty of the void, we are tempted to look back to former times when things seemed more secure. Yet we discover that our needs are met in new and somewhat unexpected ways if we listen to and follow the voice of the Lord within." So the key word here is seemed, as in we are tempted to look back when it seemed things were secure. But what is security, really? Is it the accumulation of things and stuff and big bank accounts? Is it the worship of a golden calf, as the Israelites resorted to? You know, the only security any of us has, ultimately, is the power of spirit, that ethereal and eternal spirit that is ever present, We sometimes call it omnipresence itself. When we listen to it, when we attune to it, when we stay open and receptive to divine ideas, we can draw the wisdom we need, the courage we need, the strength we need to do that which is to be done by us today, in this moment. Because as our prayer of truth says, wherever we are, God is. That manna is ever present. You know, this same spirit gets our attention in a number of ways. Robert Brummett says this, and I wanted to share this with you because it so highlights how spiritual practice is manifested even in the most common and everyday of occurrences. He says, we may receive guidance in some unusual and surprising ways as well, and often the least expected. For example, we may open a book at random and discover there just the answer or the need, or a casual conversation with somebody might suddenly reveal the insight that guides our next step. We may even see our answer appear in such unlikely places as bumper stickers or billboards, or hear it in the words of a popular song, or even better, one of the songs that Amy shares with us. If we ask and listen, and listen in the broad sense of staying open and receptive, we will be guided somehow. It is essential that we not only listen to, but also obey the direction of the inner Lord, and we will be led along our right path. You know, it was in this period of wandering and wondering the Israelites received the manna from heaven and received the Ten Commandments, those literal and symbolic understanding that the world operates according to spiritual law and spiritual principles. When they followed the law and Moses' instructions, all went well. And when they didn't, well, you get a golden calf to worship, which, by the way, Moses made them melt down, grind into dust, add into the water, and drink. Talk about what you're taking and ultimately what you've done and ultimately transforming it. Now, there's a visual. Don't think too much on that one. You know, the Bible reveals that the Israelites wandered the desert and wondered about their future 40 years. That's two generations. But why so long? I mean, when I'm in a transformation experience, or when any of us is in a transformation experience, we often shake our heads and go, why is this taking so long? I know I'm not the only one who has had that question. Why won't this just be done? So it takes 40 days, 40 years, 40 minutes, 40 hours. It takes as long as it takes so that we learn to engage with spirit. Not just listen and obey, but engage. Scriptures recount all these wonderful conversations and arguments even that characters and the patriarchs had with God. We do the same thing with the God of our understanding, with that inner awareness of spirit. It takes so long in the void so that we appreciate our process of emerging. And by that I mean, in these challenging times in the void, we discover what we're made of, what we're capable of, our strengths, our passions, our values, our morals. They get refined and clarified in the void. The void serves an imperative and important purpose for us. It takes all this period of time so that we learn to release our attachments to the past. Sometimes our attachments simply limited us. You know, there's the passage I just read. Why did you bring us out here to die? At least in slavery in Egypt, we had food. It's like, no, but just surviving isn't enough, people. Moses is saying to them, you were made to thrive, to prosper, to be a great nation. Just as each one of us as an individual is not designed just to survive, just to get by, and just to deal, but to be strong and empowered, loving and grace-filled and graceful. We have to release anything that prevents that from being our ultimate experience, which is why we get several void experiences in our life. Can't do it all at once. Well, maybe you can. If you do, let me know. And lastly, we just need to learn the skills and the talents and the traits that will allow us to enter the promised land of our being. That might be the new job, the new relationship, but most importantly, what it will be is our new sense of self. And that's self for us as individuals and self for us in the collective. Who have we come here to be? The void becomes that wonderful refining experience that makes the next phase possible. And you can't skip it, much as we want to. We will do anything to be comfortable, to avoid discomfort. But that discomfort serves a reason and a purpose. So when it happens, I invite you to ask yourself, what gifts and graces is this time offering to me? How is this void experience allowing me to know who I truly am? How can I take this void experience and deepen my understanding of God in my life? God as those spiritual principles that we know and understand and consciously work. And God as that divine mystery that is ever unfolding and revealing itself to us in delightful and unexpected and mysterious ways. We are in this peculiar and wonderful period of COVID-19. We are in this peculiar and wonderful period of reawakening to who we are as a nation. We are in this peculiar and wonderful period as individuals of being in the void. It's not against us. It's what I want to get across to everybody, and especially this guy. Now, this guy has on occasion said, this really feels like it's against me. The truth is, it's not. It is an opening for growth and development, discovery, awareness, empowerment. I encourage all of us today to be willing to give thanks for our wandering and our wondering. Because when we give thanks for these things, we cease resisting. And we open the door to the possibility of what good might be happening. I know for here at the church, we're making the good be the awareness of how we can maximize and utilize new technologies to uplift consciousness, to give our mission and vision ever greater expression. It's a good time. It's an awkward time, kind of uncomfortable, but it's not against us. And I know for me as an individual, as a leader, as a person, as somebody deepening into my awareness of what is important to me and how am I going to demonstrate that, it is a good time and an awkward time and an uncomfortable time. And yes, I wish it was done already, but it's not. So that can only mean for all of us, even more good stuff is coming. So let's stay open, stay ready, and be willing to embrace the good of the moment and the blessings of the void. Peace be with you and namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.